picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody.
Annyeong.
Hola. Hi.
Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast. So, just so you know, there's no surprises. Soon, we will be taking our break from the podcast.
We're gonna give you guys your soft warning about not hearing us.
Yes, because the holidays will be coming up. New Year will be coming. So we usually take a break. And this year we're going to record a few more episodes. And then
when we run out, we run out.
Yeah. So just to let you all know. But one of the things that I was talking with the guys about, the guy and Jesse.
The guys, the girls, these people.
Was doing a three-part series about our own stories. And I know, like, the first episode we ever did, and then, like, here and there, just throughout the 3 years that we've been doing this, like, you hear about, like, our journey and things like that. But, I mean, we're here with you every other week. Or if you're just joining and you're, like, mass indulging in our content, then, you know, every hour or whatever that looks like. And so we just wanted to have a place where you guys can hear a little bit more about us and our journey and our story plants.
Get to know us a little better, especially if you're not on our Patreon, because I feel like our Patreons sometimes know us too well.
Yeah, they
some of them be sending me reels and I'm like, why do you know that? Oh, that's why. love to our Patreons. But yeah, this is a little look behind the curtain. For those of you who can't subscribe, who don't, maybe you like it, maybe you hate it.
Yeah. So today, someone want to introduce me?
Wait. But before we do, we have a new review.
Oh.
Oh no.
Everyone, Jesse is the best. Could we make sure she's the only one that talks on the podcast? Just kidding. I give you a hard time.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with the people. Maybe us reading them out loud and talking about them really helped, because Lydia and I were commenting on how we have had way more reviews this year than any other year before.
So thank you. Y'all are the real ones.
You're pulling through.
Finger gun.
So this review is by S. Reddy. Hello. I love listening to you guys. I feel like I'm hanging out with friends talking about Hoya. Appreciate all the Hoya info and the fun chats. Look forward to every episode. Thank you for your review.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that's really what we aim for with these episodes. We're not experts. We're not anything.
Such a balanced review, you know?
We're just friends.
Really just shouting everybody. I'm just kidding.
I roll.
No, thank you, though.
Part of me is like, oh, we need to have all of the answers. And we can never have any illusion of, like, you know, whatever. And I think I put too much pressure on myself. So it's nice when people are like, I just feel this, like, hanging out. Because, like, that's I feel like what we've kind of repositioned to.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
Yeah. If anyone ever heard our first like episode that we ever recorded, you would be like, who are these people?
No, I mean, I think
that one never saw the light of day because no. It was so bad.
We were popping our lingo. But anyway, I'm not going to say it, but I don't know. Like, I still like the information and still like to like learn and research, but with permission to like not have all the answers. And
or be wrong completely. Or
permission to be wrong. Like that is just that little bit relaxes everything so much.
Yeah, I know we've had emails or like messages where people are like, you're wrong about this and you're wrong about that. And I'm like, oh, cool. Good to know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
We love and we learn and we fix it going forward. But yeah, today we have the honor, the privilege, the wonderful momentous occasion of hearing from our lovely host Lydia and whatever she would like to share with us about her life, her plant journey. Who is Lydia?
You can tell Jesse's never the one to introduce a guest.
What makes Lydia tick?
Yeah, I'm like, pizzazzas, Lydia, go.
What makes me tick when people cut me off in traffic?
I do.
Or really think they're right on the road and they're wrong. And I know like some of this we've like talked about here and there, and we talked a little bit about, you know, like our plant journey, like in one of our first episodes, but I don't know, like we change and things change and not everybody listens to everything. And so if you want to ever know a little bit more about us, then this is the episode. But I was like thinking back to the first time that I've had memories of like plants and things like that. And I remember there was like a short period of time where I grew up in Florida, and I lived there from the time I was like 1 year old until I started kindergarten. And we lived at like this little house that one of the church ladies was renting out, and they rented it out to my parents. And in the front, there was this like little garden bed, and my mom planted sunflowers in there. And I remember every year, I don't remember like around what time, but it's Florida. It's probably year round or something. There were these huge sunflowers that would come out of the ground. And I thought it was like the coolest thing.
They are pretty amazing to see.
I mean, they were just ginormous, and it was right out in front of the like front window by the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so like you could just like see them like starting to creep up through the window, and you could just see them outside, and they were just huge. And it was just like the most beautiful thing. And I was just thinking back on that memory and how we used to have sunflowers growing out of this house. And it was just the cutest little thing. But
so your mom planted those outside? Do you?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And there was the giant ones.
Yeah. There was a big, huge, giant sunflowers.
I can't imagine being a little kid and just seeing all of the sunflowers. I mean, I can't imagine it. Sunflowers are bigger than me right now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That's cool.
But they would just like grow outside like nothing, you know, and it was like the most beautiful thing. And I remember like growing up, my mom would even grow like, have any of your parents ever grown sweet potatoes before?
No. Mm-hmm.
Just regular potatoes.
So, oh yeah, regular potatoes. But if you let the potatoes go too far, like in the little grooves, they start developing like little vines in them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they all keep on vining and put out like leaves and flowers and stuff. And my mom, she must have just thought it was cool. Like if there was ever a potato that went like a little too long, she would stick it in a little jar of water.
Yeah.
And she would like grow them out. And they would just be like vine and growing. And then after a certain point, she'd be like over it and throw it away or whatever.
Oh, so she kind of just used it for decor.
Yeah, she did.
She was never like, let me stick this in the ground and feed my family with it.
She did, but she would like do like little things like that. So I don't know if like that's where my love for plants come from. But I just like distinctly remember there was a point in my life in college when I was living in the dorms, like I wanted plants. And I've said this before, there were succulents that I got because it was perpetuated all over the internet that you could not kill a succulent. Mm-hmm. And they're the easiest plant ever to keep alive. And I feel like that is still perpetuated.
Yeah.
Because any like time, like I just started a new job and I'll tell them like, oh, like I'm into plants or whatever. And people will be like, oh, I can't even keep a succulent alive because it's still like that misconception mm-hmm. of anybody can keep a succulent alive type of a thing.
Fake news, guys.
Yeah, but anyway, I've killed so many succulents. And the actual truth is they are very hard to keep alive.
Yeah.
They're not, like, actual succulent collectors will be like, they are not easy to keep alive. They're actually, like, very picky. Like, you have to give them a lot of light. Like, their watering is really specific. Anyway, that was a tangent. But I really tried, like, keeping plants alive for a really long time from college until I graduated. Until like I really started getting into plants, I always had at least a couple of plants in the house, but I could never keep them alive. They would always die. Now I know it's because I would never water them properly, or I would give them way too much water and not enough sunlight, and mm-hmm. think like it was fine because I would go on the internet and look up low light plants. Mm-hmm. Which in my mind meant like, oh, you don't ever need light and you're perfectly fine, which is what I think a lot of people think. And like, that was my downfall, you mm-hmm. know? And so even now, like when I meet people and they're like, oh, I wish I could keep a plant alive or whatever. Like I always tell them, like, I think you just need to find your plant that is your plant that you find your groove with and you can keep alive, because all it takes is that one plant to figure it out. And then like it clicks and then you can keep any plant alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you'll still lose plants. I mean, we all still kill plants, but I'm like,
yeah.
You find that one that clicks and that's the plant that like you need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But I feel like,
what was your clicky plant? Like, what was one of them?
Well, the one that I really wanted to click was the fiddle leaf fig.
Mm.
That is the one, if I really think about it, that is the plant that started like the plant craze for me.
Yeah.
Because that was the first plant that I saw, either it was like on social media or HGTV or something like that. And I was like, I want that plant. And I remember seeing them come into Home Depot and I spent $50 on one.
Damn. Okay. Yeah.
And it felt like a huge deal. I was like, oh my gosh, they have these. I'm so freaking excited. And that was the plant. How many of those did I kill? I killed like 50 five gajillion. Of them. I even named them. I remember one was like Mr. Figs. Another was like Figgy Jr. Mm-hmm. because Mr. Figs died and then I got Figgy Jr. And then I think by the third one, I stopped naming them.
Figgy but, Smalls, Notorious F.I.G.
But, you know, R.I.P. Mr. Figs, Figgy Jr.
That was one of the plants too that like helped me research the troubleshoot. Because mm-hmm. mine got spider mites. Mine had edema. That one also taught me about overwatering and like.
Wait, what is edema?
Like where you give it too much water and it kind of gets those like reddish brown speckles.
Speckles.
That one gets it big time.
See, the thing is, I never even got to those points because the first thing I was always looking up was, why are the leaves dropping? It would just, and like I reversed.
It's probably because you moved it 1,000 times and they hate being moved. Yeah.
That's what it was, because I kept on thinking it was unhappy and I would move it and move it and move it and move it.
No, it's going to drop all of its leaves, like a really good chunk of them when you get it home, but then it'll maintain.
And then I just remember there was like one time where I think it was like I was sending Jesse a video or something and I like touched the plant and had one leaf left and it like fell off and then it was a stick and I was like, oh, fuck it. But I remember like I looked up so many articles. And this one lady wrote this long blog about how to keep a fiddle leaf fig alive. And there was like a special fiddle leaf fig fertilizer. I bought the fertilizer.
Oh.
I bought the fertilizer. Did it work? No. And I did all the things and I tried following all the things. And now I realize like your home is basically a microclimate. So what works for one person isn't always going to work for you either. You kind of have to find your groove of like, what ends up working for you, right? And what mm-hmm. works for one person doesn't work for another person, which I think is kind of fun how like we talk about our experiences because they are very different. Even though we live in the same place, like some of us are very successful and someone isn't. So it's like, just kidding.
It felt very pointed. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yes. So that was the plant that I feel like really started the the, oh, I'm like seeing this on the internet and I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of like the first plant that like really clicked for me. And I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, was a peperomia, but just like the normal green peperomia that you can get at like the grocery store. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I got it at like a Fry's, which is like Kroger, a Fry's or Trader Joe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it like in a really sunny spot and it just like lived and it didn't die. And I think that was the first time I realized like, okay, like I'm just going to give you some water every week and I'm just going to try and see how it is that I can keep you alive. And I think that is the plant that like clicked for me where I was like, okay, like maybe I can do this. And then it was like a downward spiral from there. There was that one, I can't remember what episode we were talking about it. I think it was in Patreon, but literally I was looking for a photo and from 1 month to another, my living room went from what? It was like 10 plants. And then all of a sudden, the whole living room was covered with plants in a span of 1 month.
Yeah. And you had been like, this place will never have plants. And then like next month, you were like, there's no more room for more plants on this space.
It was, literally Jesse and I think that's when we started seeing each other a lot more too. We were just like, let's go to Bridge. Let's go to Summer Winds. Let's go. Oh, we found this new place. Like they have all these plants. And that's when the plant craze was starting too. And there was a local nursery where literally I memorized my debit card from the amount of times I was calling in to place my.
Yeah, because they would post it on their stories. Like we got the plant white fusion.
Oh,
there were like, I think the big the ones, there was Calathea white fusion. There was the watermelon peperomia. We got a huge one in like a 6-inch basket or something. Yeah.
And they would let you call in and like buy one on the phone and then pick it up later. So Lydia would call in and buy them and then I would just go and pick them up.
Literally, it got to the point I would call and they must have had caller ID or something. And if it was a specific guy, he would be like, hey, Lydia.
Dang.
And I'm all right. He's like, what do you want this week?
I'd be surprised if he didn't have your debit card number.
Yeah, but I literally memorized my card number from that experience, which is hilarious. But we would literally get together at least once a week and we would be going to plant places. We would be on the Facebook groups, like at work, literally.
I mean, you, not me. I'm a very dedicated employee. Oh, yeah.
Just like looking for like plants that we wanted. We would have like plants coming in the mail. We would be like dividing plants, splitting plants. That was our way of doing it because we're like, we're going to save so much money by doing this, you know?
Yeah. Well, cutting costs. And then also, I mean, we swore we were going to grow them so big. We would have so much of the plant anyway. Remember?
Yeah. Jesse would be like, oh my God, I can't wait until this plant gets huge. Yeah.
I don't think any of them lived, but anyway.
And it was just like a super fun time. And I think it like brought me a lot of joy because like I said before, like this job that I was in doing, like I had dedicated so much of just like my own capacity and mental capacity to it. And I just thought that's how you were supposed to work, you know, like you go to school, you go to college, you finish, you start a career and you like put everything into it. Like that's all I was ever told and taught. And I was also never given another option. So I never thought any different. Like I never thought I wasn't going to go to college and I never thought I wasn't going to have some kind of a job where I was just going to try to like, you know, like move up all the tiers and try to become a manager and like do all of those things. Yeah. And like in my mind, it was never something where it was like, oh, like I want to do this. I'm ambitious about it. It was just one of those things where it was like, this is expected of me. So I'm going to be ambitious about it. Yeah. But really, like you can only push yourself like that, like so much. And I was really pushing myself. Like I would I got to the point literally like one of the years, like I had taken no vacation days. And my boss was like, you can only roll over so many hours. And if you don't start taking every Friday,
you took none.
None.
In In your mindset at that time in your life, were you like, I'm not taking days because I want to show them I'm dedicated? Or were you like, I don't have enough time to take days?
No, it was just like one of those things. Like I had no balance. Like I felt like I shouldn't like be gone from work. Like even if I'm sick, like I should still show up. Damn. Like my parents are the type of people, unless you were literally shitting yourself or throwing up, you were going to school. Like there was one time in high school, like I had such, I could feel myself and I had such a bad fever and I was the drum major. So I'm on this like 12-foot podium and I felt like so dizzy, like I could just like fall off, but I still pushed through. And I remember there was like a class that I went to.
Character building.
And I was like literally cold sweats from how bad I felt. Do you remember that? We were in Mr. Aldrin's class and I was like, Jessie, I feel so bad. I don't know what's going on. She was just like, dang girl.
Dang
girl,
that sucks. Damn sucks for you.
Yeah. I was just like, all right.
Thanks for sharing. Cucumber. But like literally like that was it. And I just didn't understand like what the balance was, or that it was important for me to take care of me. So I never did that. And I just always showed up to work and I did the most. And I even like was literally helping every single person on my team. And I was striving to have the highest numbers and like moving up and getting promoted. And that's all I was focused on. I would even work like extra hours, like on the weekend. Like I would get paid for it.
Yeah.
But I was like working extra hours on the weekend and stuff like that. And I just like reached this point where like people I even worked with would even talk about like, oh, I feel so burnt out and this and that. And in my mind, that was like no concept. Like I'd never heard about burnout before. And I was just like, what are you even talking about? That like makes no sense. What do you mean you just feel like you can't work? Like just get in front of your computer and work. Like it's simple. Like in my mind, it felt that simple. And then it hit me and I remember I was just like, I literally feel like I can't work.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what was going on or like what that was. And so I think at that point before plants, one of my reprieves was fish. I had so many. And then I got on this whole thing about like rescuing all the betta fish. It was bad. Anyway, but
Number. How many was the max amount of betta fish you had?
I think I had
at one point.
I think the most I ever had was 15.
At one, like at the same time.
At the same time.
And this means one per tank.
I was to say per tank. I did have two 10 gallon tanks that I put a divider in.
Okay.
And there are two in there.
Okay. Yeah, because 5 gallons is minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember she would be like, oh, we got a fish today. And then literally the next day she'd be like, oh, we went to get food for the fish, but then there was a sick one. And then there was this like one that nobody had bought. And then there was this one that was on clearance and I felt bad. And I was like, how many fish does this girl have? Lydia would be like, can I pay your little sister to come clean out my fish tanks? But she lived too far. So I was like, anyway.
Yeah, but it literally started burning me out because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to clean them every week. I mean, you could not clean them every week, but then like, are you being a good fish parent at that point? No. So then literally you would have to take out 75% of the water and fill it back up. And then you have to go through with a siphon and siphon all of the substrate. And then you have to make sure you wipe all of the glass and you have to make sure you take the filter out and you clean the filter. And I was doing that for 12 tanks.
Is this
it would take Lydia the doing whole the most? Weekend.
Yeah.
Whole weekend. If you know Lydia, you know she never half-asses anything.
Yeah.
As Lydia's friend for almost 20 years. Next year, we will have been friends for 20 years. I have never known Lydia to half do something.
Yeah.
If she says she was cleaning those tanks once a week, she was doing that.
And then I'm stressing yourself out if you missed
that. And the fish plant hobby overlapped like very briefly.
Maybe for a little bit.
Because you were like, I can use, oh my God. You were like, I could use the fish water to water the plants.
Oh, yeah. There was like
as they died.
It was the tiniest bears overlap, but they don't live very long. That's the thing. So like,
maybe they'd live longer if you'd been a better fish.
So you were basically just operating as like a beta rescue.
Yeah, basically.
A non-profit. So
I would work my ass off, and then my dogs. I had to take care of the dogs.
Because like, that was also another reprieve of yours, which was going into the shelter and snatching up every dog you saw.
During lunch at work, she would go to the shelter and she'd be like, I'm taking that home, hold it. And then she'd go finish her day off, pick up the dog and come home and like already have four dogs. And then she'd be like, we have more dogs.
And two more fish.
Yeah. And I'm like, maybe you should stop going to the pet store and the freaking adoption place.
But I felt like this like huge obligation to like have to do like the most for my dogs. Like they would have to get enrichment every day. I would have to walk them twice a day. And like, so I was like doing
water pick.
So I was like doing that after work and then taking care of the fish and then going to church and everything. It was just a lot of things. But and then, you know, I got plants that required more attention. But anyway, but I just realized the thing about the fish, though, was I would have kept on doing it, but it made me really sad when they started dying.
Yeah.
Like I started getting like really, really sad about it.
You can kind of see like they slow down and they're like sideways.
They all have like a personality.
I've never had a fish.
And I mean, you feed them every day. Yeah. So like, you know, like I would have my moments with them in the morning when I would feed them and they all have their like little personality and they get sick and it was like too much stress. I have anxiety. Back then I thought.
You didn't know you had anxiety.
Back then I didn't have anxiety because I didn't know I did.
Ignorance is bliss.
But it just like I think it started taking a toll on me that they were dying, and like I just like grew this attachment with him. So I was like, I need to stop because this is taking a toll on me. So that's like the primary reason that I stopped was they don't live very long, and they just man they you know real quick. So I was like, this is rough. So anyway, that was very short lived, like 2 year ish. Hobby, I think, around there. And then I got to plants. And there was just, like, so much joy in that. There was so much joy in, like, being able to, like, you know, on my break or on lunch, like, just being able to, like, I would completely disconnect from what I was doing and, like, look up plants and buy a plant. And then it would come in the mail. And then, like, Jesse and I connected so much more during that time. And we were, like, talking so much and sharing in this. And we would actually, like, meet up and make the time for each other because we were like sharing in this hobby together. And it was like so much joy that it brought into my life. And it gave me such like a reprieve from just what I was going through during that time. And then, you know, I definitely have an addictive personality because it got out of hand very quickly.
Spiraled fast.
It got so out of hand.
Yeah, it got really out of hand. And, you know, per usual, I really became drawn towards the ones that were really pretty, but the worst, Calathea. And there was a whole corner. I sent you guys that picture of my Calathea corner. That died within it wasn't even a month and those were like all dead. It was difficult. Okay, let's just say that was challenging. From there, we had just like for fun, like sold some plants because we were like, let's go to California because we kept on hearing California was the place.
It wasn't for fun, baby. It was to make up a little bit of what we had already invested into plants.
And so we were like, oh, let's sell some plants. So we did. And we were like, get together on the weekends and like sell some plants. And we were like, and we're going to save money and we're going to go to California because everyone keeps on saying that's like
where all the plants are.
Yeah. And we were like seeing all these like nurseries and plant shops and stuff in California because there's none in Arizona. I mean, there were like big nurseries.
But, yeah. But they all care kind of like all box brand stores and like the bigger nurseries, they all carry the same thing because the bigger nursery supplies the box store.
Yeah. It wasn't like the small like boutique type stores that sold things where you like only ever saw on social media. And so we had done that. And then at a certain point, I was like, Jesse, why don't we start selling plants? And Jesse goes, yeah, let's do it. And so then we started.
No, initially I was like, no, I know what it's like to own a business and I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, because you're helping your dad with his business. Mm-hmm. Pretty A lot at that point.
Pretty forever.
Yeah. It's pretty your whole life.
Yeah.
And we started selling plants. And then at that point, like at my job, I was just so utterly unhappy working there. And it was like I really started noticing like it was really taking a toll on me. And so that would have been like the beginning of like 2020, but I'm talking like January 2020 before the big happened, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, actually the big thing happened in January.
Oh yeah, it did. But in China, and it wasn't here yet. Yeah. And classic Americans are, you know, we're always just like, it's not here, it's not our problem.
And
you
even
know?
More so Arizona, to be specific.
Yeah, we were just like, we're hearing about this thing, but I don't know, it doesn't seem like a big deal. I'm sure it'll just
sick
blow
people are just
over.
Getting on airplanes and flying to New York City.
I remember people were like, remember the whole bird flu?
Avian,
There was that. What was the one? There was that one that happened as soon as
swine
we like,
flu?
As soon as we graduated from college, there was like a big virus that had gotten out. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Was it the H1N1? Was it swine flu?
Yeah.
But anyway, that was supposed to like become a pandemic at that. Like that day and age, I remember everyone was like, it's just like that. Like, it's never going to become anything. You know, like, I remember that. And so, you know, me in my mind, not thinking that that could ever become any kind of problem, was really contemplating quitting my job and just selling plants full time. And I kid you not, it was legit. Because I feel like once it came to the U.S. and it hit in Arizona, it hit fast. And it was legit like 2 weeks before the world was going to shut down. And by that point, it was still pretty normal. I mean, you were like going to travel to New York or something. Remember?
I did travel to New York. I was afraid of getting stuck there because by then Arizona had paid attention.
But literally, like, I quit my job and my job. Like, this was the moment like I got burned so bad. Literally spent all of my early 20s. I spent almost 6 years at this job. All of my early 20s from the moment I graduated from college since I was 21. No, I started there. Yeah. When I was 21 years old, dedicated all of my youth. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember I sat down for a one-on-one with my boss and I was like, I think I'm going to quit. And she goes, well, if you decide to just let me know, I heard that you might have been. And so I already have a job listing written up. And that was the moment that I realized what 26 years old, I realized I'm like, I am replaceable and expendable to anybody, and I am truly just a number, and it just doesn't matter, you know, like
no one cares. Yeah,
places expect you to have loyalty, but they don't have loyalty towards you.
No,
and now in my mind, I'm just like, I work my wage, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a good lesson in my life to learn. And I'm glad that I learned it then.
Miss Taylor Swift has a lyric you can like sympathize with. This. I'm pissed off. I gave you all of my youth for free. She knows how you felt in that moment.
Damn. Well, anyway, she knows how I felt in that moment for some other situations too. But, you know, so I quit and then the whole world shut down.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there. I had placed this huge import order because I was like, I'm going to grow a bunch of Hoya. This was the first time I was going to order Hoya. I was like, I'm going to grow a bunch of Hoya.
So at that point, were you importing like aeroids and other plants?
I had already imported like...
You first started, it was the green plant. It was just plant. When we first started, it was just plants.
But then when I decided I was going to quit my job, I was like, I want to grow out a lot of different things. So I placed like a huge import order for aeroids and a huge import order for Hoya. What happened? They couldn't send them because remember during that time there was a stop on all shipments. Yeah. Remember I had paid like thousands of dollars. I mean, I think it was like $2,000 or something. But felt like a lot of money then.
It is a lot of money. If I find $2,000 on the floor outside and be like, woo-wee. Yeah.
And I felt bad at that point because I was like, well, they're also affected. So I don't want to be like, give me my money back. Like we thought, you know, at that point it was
You never
like,
got that money back?
No, but I got the plants.
Oh, okay.
Like 3 months. Like, ah. Once you fight them now. Once the hold was lifted, but it took like 3 months for that to be lifted. But remember when the first like... the whole shutdown happened. Yeah. It was like, it's only going to be for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they were hoping that people would listen and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was that whole thing of like, oh, they're saying it's just going to be for 2 weeks. And so it was like, okay, no big deal. And then it became a month and then it became 2 months. And then by that point I was like, I'm already like into that. So it's like, what am I? I'm just going to like at this point, like, they're all like, I felt bad for them. So yeah. I was just like, I'm just going to wait. And they were communicating with me and I knew they were really good sellers. So I was like, I'm just going to have faith that you are going to fulfill this when you can. And they did. And they came in clutch when that time came. But man, I thought I made
a big mistake.
The worst decision of my life.
Yeah.
But I will say like that time was probably like now looking back, like, a really cherished moment in my life though, because I wasn't doing like a regular 8-to-5 job. Like at the time when I was married, my ex's grandma who had passed during that time, my ex mother-in-law who had passed during that time, like I got the opportunity to spend time with them and care for them with my sister-in-law. And those are like really like special moments to me that I look back on in my life. So like, I'm really grateful for being able to like have that time. And in a way, like if I think about it, like plants afforded me to do that, you know, like it gave me the confidence to be able to quit my job to like have like this different lifestyle that I wouldn't have been able to have. And despite it being like such a dark time and all these things happening, like I'm really grateful that I got to have that.
Yeah.
And also like from my end, looking at you during that time, I feel like it all, plants in the business also gave you a lot of confidence of like, you can do it. Like you had a project, you executed it. I know you were like really like cautious about like what your parents would say. And like you did the thing, you paid your bills with this business that you made and you built and whatnot. I know I was helping you, but like really I was just there to give you the laughs.
Yeah.
Because you did all the support. Planning, you did all the like LLC, you did all the you know, pricing, the shipping, like literally, I feel like it kind of proved to you that like you can take care of you. I feel like that was a really big part of
bringing that project to shove. Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That was just what I kind of saw during that time.
Thank you. But yeah, it was like a really sweet time. And I think, you know, that's like when the plant craze like really hit. But like before that, like we're really crazy into plants because we went to that first plant swap in October of 2019. That's when we met you, Adam. That's when we met the Arizona plant group.
Prior to.
Yeah. That was the peak of like not Hoya, just like regular plants, like me having a lot.
So in your timeline, since that's the part that like I wasn't around there, in your timeline, what was it from starting to collect plants as a hobby to then like turning into a business? Like how quick was that gap?
I think it was at least a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were collectors for a while. I also like at the time.
It was like 2017. Mm-hmm. The end of 2017 we were. Yeah. We got a little bit. But not then crazy.
I started like, traveling to California a little bit more than I used to. And that's when she was like, well, if you're feeling comfortable with that now, why don't we start going? And like, first we went just to buy plants for ourselves. But then when she was like, let's do the business, we would go there like once a month.
Because the plan was we were going to import, grow out plants, mm-hmm. and then eventually propagate them and sell them. But what ended up happening was we couldn't import. So that we had no plants to grow. So then I found wholesalers in California, and California was only like a 6-hour drive, only 6-hour drive. So we're like, okay, plan B, let's go through these wholesalers and try to get stock and inventory and see, you know, what can be done. And I'm super grateful for Jesse during that time, because I don't think I definitely couldn't have done it alone.
Yeah.
You know, like I definitely couldn't have made that drive by myself. I remember one time Jesse was like, you can do it. You can drive. And I literally got banned from driving the distance there.
No, the problem was you can drive. The problem yes. is I was so tired and I was like, I need to sleep. And you were like, you can't fall asleep while I'm driving because I'll fall asleep. And I was like, bro, like, don't be dramatic. Drive. And I fell asleep, and like 20 minutes later, we're in a ditch because my girl fell asleep at the wheel. Just hear,
because you know how like yeah. they have like the really intense, yeah. like, yeah.
And I was just like,
but no, literally, there was one time we almost died on one of those trips though, because.
Because why?
Because remember, you took a wrong turn.
I don't believe this. That, it doesn't sound like me.
No, Jesse took a wrong turn and I was taking a nap. And I remember at one point I woke up and literally Jesse never says this. She just was like, go back to sleep. We're okay. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, she's being so nice.
It's because I had forgotten that we were supposed to go to San Diego up to LA and back. And we were taking the 10. And there's this, you can get to LA off the 10 and then to go to San Diego, you break off in not Gilbert, Gila River. You go down mm-hmm. the 8. Well, I had forgotten to go down the 8. So we were like, just before a turn. And it's this little like smaller street that you can take, but it's known as like the freeway of death or like the road of death.
Your mom told you yeah, my after mom, the fact, right?
My mom told yeah. me after the fact. And it's this little road that connects the 10 to the 8 when you miss that first cutoff.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're driving up the hill, other cars are coming up, but you don't see each other. You can hit each other. There's like so many like random twists and turns. And it was night. I'm not very good at driving at night.
Bro, I wonder if this was in one battle after another, because there's a whole scene in that movie where they're going over these like hills. And I was like, this looks like Arizona.
And yeah, that's exactly what it was. And you had to be. And I was so nervous and I was just like, if this is where we die, this is where we die. My girl should just go to sleep. And then when we finally made it to the 8, I would like sighed and I was like, girl, we almost died. And she was like, what? And I was just like, anyway, my bad. I missed that turn.
But literally, I finally wake up and it looks stressy. And she was just like, we barely lived right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, we literally almost died. And I'm like, why did you wake me up? And she's like, well, if we're going to die, you might as well have died while you're sleeping.
Yeah. She didn't want to manage her emotions while she was trying to freak out.
Exactly what it was. So anyway, those are definitely good times. But
it's Highway 95 that goes from the 10 to the 8. It's bad. Never do it.
Highway in California? Or Arizona.
It's just outside of Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, I was on the aeroid craze for a little while. And like I've talked about before, I just hit a point where what I wanted was Hoya. And really the first big Hoya haul that we had done was, I think it was towards the end of 2020, I want to say maybe. We were in San Diego and we had visited Annie's Garden Gems and she only sold Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first time I had seen so many Hoya I had only seen on Instagram. And I bought like my Obavada Splash that I still have. Like that's still one of like my OG like Hoya that I can like remember, you know? And just like so many other ones. And I think that's the moment I was like, okay, I see it. And so then it became like very much a mix. And as I was accumulating those things, I started getting rid of all of kind of the other plants that I had, like I had gone through like a peperomia craze at one point. I had gone through like a caladium craze at one point, like all these like other little plants that I had gotten. And it was just aroids and Hoya. And then I remember there was one point where I told Jesse, I think it was in like 2021 or something. I was like, I'm done with aroids. And I just hopped on the local Arizona Facebook group. I sold all of them.
Mm-hmm. And whatever didn't sell came to my house.
Yeah. And then whatever didn't sell met its unfortunate fate at Jesse's house.
It lived out the rest of its joyful days at Jesse's house.
Short days.
And then from there, like honestly, the last 4 years, I think have just been just Hoya. Like that has been it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel like,
but not recently.
Yeah, not recently. But I feel like the last 4 years have really been like a journey with the plants. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about like a lot of different things, but the last 4 years have been definitely like huge ebbs and flows just for me in my life, I feel like. And I feel like a lot of just how I've changed as like a plant parent and things like that have also ebbed and flowed greatly, you know? Mm-hmm. Because 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, I had gone through my divorce, which was like something unfathomable in my life, you know, like growing up super religious, my dad being a pastor.
And the culture, your culture as well.
My culture. And it just felt like I remember like the day that it happened, I called Jesse and I told her, I was like, I can't tell my mom. That's literally, I think, the first words that came out of my mouth. I was like, I can't tell my mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to have to at some point if you're actually going through with this.
Flash forward to the tattoos. I can't tell my mom.
And it really felt like this moment of like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, that was like the first step of just my life totally pivoting and changing. And it was like a lot of, you know, just like grieving what I thought my life was going to be and what it wasn't. And then finding who I was and finding what I know I deserve and finding just ultimately that I deserve to be happy for me and nobody else. And it was like this like whole journey and path. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's changed me a lot, like as a plant parent. And like, I'd lie if I said like if there were points where I wasn't like, I can't do this with plants. Like, that's too much, you know?
Yeah.
But then also plants brought me so much joy, like during that time. And I think like my boyfriend right now just recently bought a house. And so I recently moved. And I was like super emotional leaving the home that I was living in for the past 3 years, because when I sold my house during the divorce, I moved into another house with my parents. And I feel like that home was like so pivotal to just like my personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
But in every single moment of like that journey, those past 3 years, like, I would sit in my office, I would work, I would not want to show up for life, and my plants would be there. And there were days where like I wouldn't want to do anything with them, but like they still needed me, so I still showed up for them.
Yeah.
And it became this thing of like, I show up for them, I show up for my dogs, I show up for me. And it was just like this huge thing. And now I feel like I'm in a really good place with all of that and have grown a lot. And I just, nice to see, you know, that all coming together and that I've kept my plants. I'm happy that I kept my plants. I think I would have been really sad if I hadn't.
Yeah.
I think you would have eventually come back.
Yeah, no, 100%. But
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that this is probably a hobby for all of us that we're always, you know, like we've said before, we're always going to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at some level.
Yeah. Learning who you are is a beautiful thing. And I feel like that was my late 20s and also my 30s. I feel like we're all just going to, you're like also even into my 40s now. Like, but it's a beautiful thing to like keep learning more about yourself and then like keep healing yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And keep like, I mean, I know in the moments you're like, yeah, I don't need a fucking test my strength anymore. So yeah. It's a life word, but like, it's kind of cool to like look back at your life and think like, I didn't think I could get past that point. And like that point gave me the beautiful life I have now.
Yeah. 100%. And like, I see the ways that I've like learned to like let go of things and learn to like give myself grace and learn to like give myself compassion. Cause those are things that I never did or I like never knew how to do, or I knew how to, cause I would for other people, but I didn't know how to for myself. And so I think a lot of that reflected in the way that I was like approaching my plants, because even, you know, like at the beginning of the journey, like with like even my divorce, I mean, I was so regimented with the things that I was doing and like with the plans that would mean like, I felt like every single week, like the same with the beta, you know, like I have to do 100%. I have to clean it from point A to point Z 100%. And that's how it was with the plans. And I could just not give myself the grace to not do that. Like I put so much pressure on myself to hold myself to some standard that doesn't exist to feel like I was okay. And then there came that point, like in the last couple of years, where it was like, I need to let that go. And I don't have to do that for my plants to be happy. And then you would just see them still growing and thriving and blooming. And there's like so much forgiveness in that. And them just being like, I'm fine. I don't know what you're stressed about. You know what I mean? But it just felt like such a big reflection of just like my life and how I was able to like approach myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And now like that still continues. Like I don't feel like I have to do all these like big things for my plants to be a good collector or to be a good plant hobbyist. Like there's so much grace in just knowing like I'm doing the best that I can right now and they're still thriving. I honestly, I kid you not. I swear there was like a period of time literally the beginning of last year was when I feel like I was like truly at one of like my lowest points. And I was really coming to like terms of like how I wanted to live my life. And that like I had to have this like moment of breakthrough of finding that. And I couldn't be bothered to do. I mean, there was literal dust on the leaves of my plants at this point. And all I could be bothered to do was to top off the plants every week. That's all. And I probably did that for the better first half of last year.
Yeah.
From like January till summer. That's all I could do. And I kid you not, I swear they grew the best.
And during that time.
During that time. There were new leaves popping off left and right. They were blooming. They were happy. Nothing died.
See?
But I think it's just all proof that like we can give ourselves the grace because everything else in our life gives that to us, you know? And so I feel like a lot of that showed and a lot of it shows now of like it's just, I feel like a progression of me being able to actually see an actualized form of like the growth that I've had. And I see that in the way that like I even approach my plants, which I feel like is a cool way to see that actually come to fruition, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like, you know, and like during that time, I mean like all of like last year, like I didn't even sell any plants or anything like that. Like I just didn't have the capacity to. The only time that I did was when the whole, you know,
dog sitch.
Yeah. Where literally all my dogs decided they were going to die and now they're all better, which is great. I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that. I just spent like $10,000 on vet bills within like 3 months during that time. And I thought I was going to die and it was so bad. So like that emergency situation happened that I had to take care of. But yeah, I feel like the last 3 years have just been a whole journey and I can see that journey like through my plants, which I think is kind of a beautiful thing in some way. But right now, like, you know, I feel like I'm just in a really good spot where I have the balance of like, I'm caring for them. I feel like I'm doing the things that I need to do to be a good plant parent, but also then having the capacity to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And like, they are, you know, in my office, which I also work and I work from home. And I just sit there and I look at them and they bring me so much joy. And I feel like that's like the good spot to be in, to feel like I know I still have to do things to care for them, but it doesn't feel like a burden at this point. And there's just so much joy in still being able to care for them and just looking at them and seeing them grow. And like, I'm like at that point now. And so I can be really grateful for that. And so now, with this home that we're living in, I've deemed the office space as the Hoyer room and the rest of the house can be all other plants. Nice. So I really have gotten into getting like a lot of different kind of plants, which have been like, it's actually been like really fun. So, we'll go to like different nurseries and stuff like that. And it's fun because like I'll just like point out stuff to him and be like, oh my gosh, this plant used to be, you know, like $1,000. And now there's this thing called tissue culture, and just like, you know, like talking to him about it. And I picked up like a string of hearts.
I almost got one of those the other week, this last weekend. They're so pretty.
I feel like when I got into plants, that was one of the plants I really, really wanted and I wanted to grow. And I could never keep one alive. But this one is literally growing and thriving.
Yeah.
So I feel like just like in my plant journey, I've learned better how to take care of plants, which is now giving me the capacity to like grow other plants too, which is fun, you know? So I'm like kind of having fun doing that. Yeah. And I took a bunch of cuttings the day that I literally got laid off from my job, which was what, like two, three-ish months ago.
Yeah.
I took cuttings of two of Jesse's plants. There was a Micans and the Scindapsus pictus. Mm-hmm. And those rooted and grew, and I have them hung up in our bay window now. For some ungodly reason, right now I'm like really into begonias. Mm. And apparently begonias, it's like a whole different culture. I guess they're really easy to cross pollinate and like make different cultivar, and people are like really into it. And the flowers are immaculately beautiful. So,
I mean, I feel like I haven't met a flower that I haven't loved except for those like rotten flesh. Plant.
Yes, but they are so cute.
I know, and they're like little petals. Like I had the maculata, like, and that one flowered for me. But that's the only begonia I've ever had flower.
Mm. So I got a begonia maculata. I got some silver one and some pink one, and mm-hmm. then there's like all these other ones. And then I just went down this like very obscure begonia rabbit hole. Mm. And Steve's Leaves does like auctions and stuff like that.
They are the begonia people, aren't they? Yeah,
I didn't know that. Literally, I was telling Jesse, I was like, I literally went on their website.
They got a bunch of named ones.
Didn't know. Yes, so many. I almost bought like 5 new begonias, and I stopped myself. Because I was like, I just got these. I need to actually make sure I can keep them alive. And they're just not like faking
Anthurium,
me out.
Remember the Anthurium?
Yes.
Resurgence of 2022.
100%. So right now I'm only like $30 invested in. Okay, and that feels like a very reasonable investment.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, let's, you know, feel it out.
Let's get our footing.
But then we got this huge Ficus Audrey because we wanted like a little statement piece in the corner of the living room. And I could never keep Ficus alive. And I think now I'm realizing I never give him enough light.
Yeah, they need
direct a ton light. Of light. And we have this like huge bare window.
Raw dog in that sunlight.
Just bare ass window. No curtain, no blinds, no nothing. Sits directly in the front of the house.
Yeah.
And I have a Ficus Audrey there. And then...
Not again. Bracker Shrag, right?
There were like all these ficus that I've always wanted and I just gave up because, you know, the fiddly fig. I still don't know if I can keep one of those alive. Maybe, but the Ficus Audrey, doing great. And then I got a Ficus umbellata, which I've always wanted one of those.
UMB
UMB.
I need to Google it.
ELLETA.
Okay.
Umbellata. And it is absolutely gorgeous. One, I never even tried looking for one because I was like, it's a ficus. I can't keep it alive.
Yeah.
Because every ficus I've ever gotten, you touch it.
It's like an alocasia.
It's gorgeous. It is literally so gorgeous. And
it's doing well?
I just got it this week, okay. Like literally on Monday, but I saw it and my literal action was,
oh, did you get that at Pueblo?
I got it at Jungle Box.
Okay.
Because I made a stop.
another stop?
Because I don't know how their point system works or how much money I've spent there in the last month, but I had enough points built up to get $10 off.
Nice. That's really pretty. Okay, so is it big?
So it's like this big.
Okay, for the audience, it's about 2 feet tall is what she's holding.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. So she's like gorgeous. And I just have like all these fun little non-Hoya plants that are just kind of hanging out in the home, and they just make me so happy.
Yeah.
And I actually mostly have them in soil. And I just made a chunky aeroid mix that I would always make.
Yeah.
Which is like, I would do a part of just, you know, like regular potting mix. I just use Coco Choir actually, because that's what I had on hand. And then I did a part of orchid bark. I did a part of perlite. I did a part of charcoal. And then I did a part of cocoa husk. And that was it. And then I just put them all in there. And so that's been super fun. I feel like it's a little bit of a reigniting of just like the love for plants, you know? So
see, and I would almost say really it's nice. Almost like you're learning how to like incorporate plants into your life and not make your life plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like, I think we're all kind of like getting to that point. And I think that's my favorite part of this. Like I think we're entering like my favorite era of this. Like I love this area of my house.
Yeah.
Like, and when I did that, I was like, oh no, this is what I should have been doing with plants instead of like trying to like, and not, I mean, there's a little of both, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But. No, 100%. Like I feel like in the house, like just in general, it feels like it's kind of like curating a little bit of like a space.
You're always good at creating a vibe like, though.
Yeah.
With your like stacked rugs and
And so I just want them to like grow out and for it to be like a cute little, you know, like cozy place. So I'm excited for that to happen. And then with like the Hoya, I've from the house that I sold that I lived in, I had all those plants in the living room. And one thing about my personality is if I see something that needs to be done, I can't relax and not do that thing. It has to be done right away. So when plants like that are in my living space, I can't relax. And so when I had moved to sell the house, I intentionally made sure I would have an office space. It was a second living room. So it was a big space and I put all the plants there intentionally so that when I was relaxing in the living room, they wouldn't be in my field of view. And I really wanted to do that in this space, which is also why my office space is a bigger space because I want the plants in there. But it feels like a nice division of like, I still feel like that is a little bit of like a collecty type of a space where it's like, I know I love Hoya. I know I love collecting them. And so it's nice to like have that space and then kind of plants where it's just fun to like embellish the space that I'm in. So it feels like a little bit of both, but it feels fun.
Yeah.
It feels like a fun place to be. So like, I'm just really enjoying that. And I wasn't sure about like, what am I going to do about like selling plants and things like that? Because I feel like, you know, Adam, you and I, when we were selling plants together, we were going hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of like that time was I was trying to fill all the empty space in my head that needed to
be
filled.
Busy.
To stay busy, to ignore all of the feelings and emotions that I needed to process through.
Yeah.
Because I truly wasn't ready. And I remember there were like points Jessie was like, you should go to, like, she was just like gently being like, well, I'm going to go to therapy and maybe you should too. And like, I just truly knew I wasn't in a space yet to process through all of that. And it would take such a big toll on me and I just couldn't do it. I just knew it was too much at the time. But then at the same time, like, I couldn't just not do anything. Like there was just so much noise in my head. And so I was just constantly doing things. Then I got to a point where I was like, it just like needs to stop and I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then after that point, when we had stopped selling together, I really was like, am I going to still do that? Am I not going to do that? Also, like nothing has been sold for a year. No one knows me anymore. You know what I mean? Like the plans seem to change so quickly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know what to do, but I have all these plants that have grown out for the past year. And I'm also like gotten a little bit to a point where I felt overwhelmed with how big they were getting.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to just cut like I sometimes I get into a mood.
Really?
And when I get into a mood of something, I have to go all the way. And so I got into this mood of I want to cut everything back. Literally everything. And made so many plans. And decided I'm just gonna just start selling them and see what happens.
Yeah.
And honestly, it feels almost like a reconnection.
Yeah.
With people. And I think it's also because I have a lot of capacity right now just to not be like so in my head about everything. And like I'm so at peace with just like where my life is and who I am and things like that, that I feel like I just have a lot more capacity for other things, that connection has just felt so much more special of people like reaching out and sending messages. And then they would see that like I would post something and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I bought this from you like 3 years ago. Look at how it's doing. And it's like freaking ginormous and way bigger than my plant. Or like a plant that I don't even have anymore. Yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, like I haven't seen you in forever, but look at this. And like, there's been so many like connection, reconnection moments. And then like talking to new people and like just like getting reconnected has been like really invigorating and like beautiful in a way. So I've also really enjoyed that. So yeah. I feel like I'm in a space right now where there's just a lot of joy coming from plants. And being able to have that in my life. And so I think I feel really grateful like at this point that despite all of everything that was happening and having points where I wanted to give up and I was like, I feel like a terrible plant parent, having like those downs and being able to come out of that and be in a space where I feel like there's a lot of ups. Like I just feel incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the point that I'm at right now. And it's just been super fun. So anyway,
I think it's always beautiful to just like find the passion for something again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's, again, as a resident Lydia expert, self-proclaimed, I think it's really cool, you know, that you can see the journey. We can see the journey, but, if you of like 3 years ago had said all of this, you wouldn't have said like the difficult things. You would have just pretended they didn't. And now you're like, yeah, the difficult things happened, but I got through them and I learned and I changed and I grew. Yeah. So I think that's really cool. Like as your friend.
Yeah. In the last 2 years, I got tattoos and my parents have seen them and they didn't even say anything about it. So, you know, and then my new tattoo actually got rescheduled. I'm getting it next weekend.
Yay.
Nice.
Fully embracing like you should be who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you're not like, oh, I always want to be a murderer. Yeah, and so I want to murder people. But if it's like within, you know, healthy boundaries of not affecting anybody else. There we go. Of not harming anybody else. Then you should be happy with who it is that you want to be in your life. And the spaces that you are in and the people that are around you. So
thank you so much for sharing about you, Lydia.
Thank you for being on board on you know, doing this.
Okay, well, head over to Instagram, follow us, let's.talkhoya, send Lydia some love. You can also follow us individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Perrito C Plant.
Adios.
Oh. Excuse me, I'm gonna do that again. And I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
'Picture this, you're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. their hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.